Hello, sexy nerds of the Nerd Imperium. Welcome to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We are your inner conclave of nerdom. My name is Diz, and I'm your pop culture and sports nerd. Ali?
I am Ali, your classic nerd.
And I'm VM, your comic book nerd.
Before we start, I got a bit of sad news.
Yep.
So, we've had two people in our community get their lives taken by gun violence.
By our community means Afghan
community. Yeah. In California, too. There were both two different instances. One happened in San Francisco on Saturday night. It was a guy by the name of Ajmal Faruqi was shot in Hayward, California. And then on Sunday, Parisa Siddiqui was shot in Thousand Oaks Mall here in Southern California. Both of them
have GoFundMes, which we'll post on Currently Nerdy's Facebook page.
Yeah, we'll post those. They both have they left behind children. Young children. So whatever you guys could do to help, we would highly appreciate that, and I'm sure their families would too.
Yeah.
All right.
Prayers and thoughts to all those affected. All them,
yeah.
We do have a real problem in this country with gun violence. I mean, we say it a lot because it happens a lot, and I don't want to beat a dead horse or you know, rehash old territory. But as we're recording this, the day we're recording this, we've had two separate gun violence incidents. In addition to the ones that have struck the community, you had a high school
in Maryland.
In Maryland, right. Where a young individual was killed, two people were killed, and several others were injured.
Yep.
You had Princeton, the Panera Bread next to Princeton was on lockdown because of a shooter. It's like it's gotten to the point, and this is a week after.
Yeah, the Marjorie Stoneman.
We had a walkout, a massive walkout. There's another one planned for, I think, the 24th or something like that.
April 20th, I believe.
Something like that. There's another one in a couple days.
Oh.
And then in addition to that, like in addition to these walkouts, last week you had a California or Oregon teacher accidentally shoot
a student
during a gun safety demo.
Here's the thing, all right?
It's an insane country to live in.
Like, I have two young nephews, right? They're 8 and 10. Right, I would have never thought about getting them cell phones, right? Because I think they're too young for them. But because of everything that's been going on, I called my cousin. I'm like, listen, I know you said they're too young for cell phones, but we have this device that will let you track your kids so you know where they're at all times. Please let me buy this for them just so that way.
Well, that's stalkerish.
No, dude, they're 8 and 10.
I refuse to let Verizon know where people are.
They're 8 and 10, and only the parents can see where they're at through an app.
That's what they tell you.
Right? Whatever. I'd rather that than
I'd rather live in a country where you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, but because we live in this country, this is the extremes
that we have to go to. Proactive, not reactive. And that's a fucking problem, right? It's like, this is not a normal conversation that people have. While that's going on, you had 7 different bombs in the past month go off in Austin. Then we have a serial bomber who's sending package bombs to people,
targeting
minorities, specifically black people and some Latino people as well. Today, as we talked about it, there's 3 that just went off today.
Yeah.
One went off in a FedEx. One didn't go off but was in a FedEx. Another one was caught in a restaurant. And then they just, as we're recording this, caught one at a Goodwill.
Yeah.
And blew up and injured someone. 7 different bombs in 1 month. Had this been a guy named Muhammad sending it out, you know for a fact that it would be nationwide coverage, and we'd be having a national emergency, and Donald Trump would be tweeting out about how we need extreme vetting. But right now, he's in the middle of tweeting at the former FBI director while he's in court with a porn star. This is 2008 for you.
I mean, and waiting for a former Playboy model.
Yeah.
There's
a Playboy model, and then there's another court case that just got where he has to face his accuser. He has to face court charges. He had tried to dismiss it by basically saying that as president, I don't have to face these charges, but the judge shut them out and shut him down and went, no, president or not, you're not above the law. You have to be deposed. Mm-hmm. And this is coming from whatever her name, Summer Zezos or whatever, the former Apprentice star, who's suing him for defamation. She accused him of sexual harassment.
Uh-huh.
He denied it and then accused her of all sorts of things. So she's suing him for defamation. And he tried to get it dismissed in court. And the judge, citing Clinton for the record, said, no, all, even a president has to be faced court, the courts. It's like you can't, you're not above the law. So this is all going on in 2018. It's only been 3 months. We've got serial bombers. We've got mass shootings. We've got porn stars, Playboy bunnies, and court cases, and the FBI being attacked by the president.
Yeah.
Welcome to America 2018.
But you know, we have to worry about protecting the Second Amendment.
Some kid is going to write his poor PhD in 2050 on the 2018 year.
He's going to source.
And it's going to be
cite us.
Yeah, he's going to cite, well, he's going to cite Twitter, first of all. He or she's going to cite Twitter, but yeah. They are going to seriously be like, that was the weirdest year of all time. If you think about it, I mean, we've had some bizarre years, Pet Rocks, all sorts of stuff,
right? Harambe.
But 2018 takes the cake so far. Just the 3 months has been so bizarre.
You know, it's so weird to think, because people were like, 2016 was crap. 2017 can't get any worse. It did. And like, well, maybe 2018 will be better.
No.
It really just kind of shows how the public's memory of things is like a goldfish.
Wait, was Roy Moore this year or last year?
Roy Moore was this year. Yep. No, last year.
No, last year. It was last year.
Damn.
Last
year. I was going to say, because that would have just been like the icing.
No, last year.
We have a pedophile.
November. It was December.
Yeah, well, Roy Moore's stupid ass is now, he declared bankruptcy.
He's broke.
Yeah.
He's asking his followers for money.
Exactly. Now he's crowdsourced.
There is karma in the world sometimes.
I find it funny that Republicans who are against handouts are now asking for handouts. Yeah. Well, it's not like they haven't been doing that all the time, but I just love when I see it publicly.
Well, it was that one guy who went viral, right? With Sassy Gay Republican or whatever his name is.
Yeah, yeah.
On Twitter. Who was talking shit about Obamacare, then got in an accident and he opened up a GoFundMe
page. Yeah, and he opened up a GoFundMe page.
He's like, I don't have insurance. I need help.
With his dumbass.
With his healthcare. And people were like, dude.
Seriously.
He came famous because Chrissy Teigen tweeted at him, and when life comes at you fast. And it made it go viral.
Chrissy Teigen.
She's the queen of the internet.
She is the patroness of all of us.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
Queen of the internet.
You know, I often wonder now that Roy Moore is bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever happened to that horse?
Horse was probably suing him.
Do you think the horse was like,
this was a non-consensual, this is a non-consensual ride to the pulse?
Well, you know, the great thing about that incident is that it made us all aware that Horse Twitter exists.
Yeah,
apparently
that's true.
There's a thing called Horse Twitter, because Horse Twitter emerged like, that's not how you ride a horse.
And they were really upset.
I feel like there's a Twitter for everything.
There is a Twitter for something. I had a friend once that once said to me, the greatest thing about the internet is if you're into wearing pink Star Wars outfits and having anal sex, there's someone out there for you.
Yep.
Right? That's what the internet has done.
There's a website for you, probably. Probably.
The internet has basically created a niche for everyone because it's so big. Mm-hmm. There's a little corner of the internet for everybody. And so, yeah, horse Twitter exists. Muslim Twitter exists. Black Twitter exists. Twitter historians exist. Historians talking on Twitter. I mean,
that's true, but there's also Stormfront.
If you had told me 12 years ago when I was starting out, back in the day when I was starting my career as a historian,
mm-hmm.
that there would be this thing called Twitter historians and we would connect via Twitter,
mm-hmm.
right? This is the era where MySpace might have just started been coming out. I wouldn't have believed you.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? Famed Michael Maroney on Twitter? No way.
Yeah. He's going to slide in my DMs?
On social media? No, he's not going to post up emo things on his MySpace. That's what MySpace was, right? You put up shitty graphics and MySpace and like,
I don't give a fuck who's on his top friends.
And his emo, you put up emo lyrics and you put up like flash graphics.
That was bad. That was really bad.
That was MySpace.
And you had new bulletins and stuff.
Yeah, imagine if that was like, because we're thinking in that sense. That social media, I'm like, really?
New pics, comment, no way. Like them. Give me a thumbs up.
No, thumbs up wasn't a thing.
No.
Oh, they had likes, though, on MySpace.
It wasn't a like. It was something else.
Yeah, you got like a snap or something.
No, the like was the like is a uniquely Facebook thing.
Yeah. For sure.
And it became kind of cross-cultural to all social media.
Like a comment and something thing.
There was a comment. But like was a uniquely Pretty sure it was Facebook.
Pretty sure MySpace had likes.
Yeah. There was a bunch of random social media when I was in high school. There was something called Melodramatic I remember having.
I had a Zynga.
It went to meet emo girls.
I never did any
of that. And you can give people karma like they do in Reddit.
The only thing I remember was AIM.
Yeah.
And you always put your away message was subtweeting someone always.
What was yours? Dark Lord something something?
Exalted Nuir.
You had another one too.
I had a bunch of them. There was like I had 15. If you didn't have 15 AIMs for different groups of friends,
you had one with Uncle in it.
One was Dark Uncle, yeah. But there was another one. But the main one was Exalted Nuir.
Interesting.
Exalted Nur.
Dirty Boy 689.
Nope, definitely not mine.
That was yours. Yeah. That was only yours.
And there's a bunch of them.
And you had the weird icon in the bottom corner. Yeah, and they had like the AOL icons where it's like a guy getting killed with an axe or something. Yeah. AOL icon guy.
But this was subtweeting before subtweeting was a thing.
Yep, your away message.
Your away message.
Or you'd put like a really like emo song.
Or you put an emo song.
Yeah. Adam's song by Blink-182 is a lot and of people's
away messages. You could change the background and the font.
I had someone subtweet me on their little profile description. They were upset because I started to get into underground rap and they were really mad at me. This was in eighth grade. They're really mad at me because they said that they got me into underground rap and now I go around telling people that I'm into underground rap, even though I'm not into underground rap. It was a whole thing.
I had nothing to do with underground.
It was this guy named Joe. I called his ass out. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then I looked back at him and he deleted the whole thing. And he never approached me about it ever again.
Did it make you doubt your sanity?
No. He's trying to gaslight me, but I was smarter than that.
I subtweeted people on my AIM.
Did you?
Mostly there were quotes. I put lots of quotes up.
Yeah. I feel like you subtweet people on Twitter. Now you don't. You just directly call them out. But you do it through our Twitter and not your Twitter.
Well, the way I do it is I put my harshest comments on Currently Nerdy.
Yeah.
So that I don't get fired.
So if you ever see someone call someone an ignorant swine from it's the Currently Nerdy.
No, ignorant swine is what classically Aolomi.
The issue is that we live in an era where I need to be able to do smart commentary, but I also want to tell people you're a moron sometimes. And for whatever reason, you can't do both. Mm-hmm. Right? So I've decided that I'm going to do most of my shit tweeting.
That is true. I think you told some ugly old lady that she looked like a nutsack or something on the Currently Nerdy.
I've never called anyone a nutsack before.
Oh, you look like a prune or a dried up prune. Okay, that's what it was.
Yeah. I did call someone and said, you look like a dried up prune.
Yeah, and then she screen capped the picture of us three.
I think she thought it was you talking to her, by the way.
See, everyone thinks that I'm the one that's talking in the damn screamed, Currently Nerdy.
Because it was your picture in the front.
Yeah.
And she's talking shit about you. And I'm like, it's actually the guy in the back.
And then they called me a neckbeard, which I was very offended.
And no one said anything about Nicolas Cage for some reason.
No one mentioned Nicolas Cage or the dude in the background. Yeah.
They didn't mention
it was funny because it was actually me. Yeah. Like,
you and I who got attacked because of him. That's what he wants.
She could have easily been like, you bald piece of shit. But now she attacked you too.
Yeah, it was just, this is terrible. But that's what he wants because if he ever gets caught tweeting, it was Diz and V. See, this lady said it.
It's not a big deal. You know, I could have joined in and said that she looked like a corpse.
Let's be real. You know, I make you guys look intelligent. Those are some interesting attacks. Sometimes. I don't do it often.
Yeah. Although, I think you're actually responsible. Our rating on iTunes went down.
Yeah, naturally.
What? Because now we have four people that rated us one star.
Aww. Who rated us? Did they give a review?
Shame. No, there's no reviews. They just rated us one star. It has nothing to do with our audio quality.
I think it was a coordinated attempt by the Russians.
I don't doubt that.
It was a coordinated attempt.
Straight from the Kremlin.
By the Russians. I mean, we still have 5 stars or 4.5 stars. We're still top. And every time they rate, it actually makes our show up on the page.
But
more.
Do us a favor, would you guys please? Don't let the Russians win. Don't let the Russian win. Give us a rating, 5-star rating. Give us a nice review.
There's a lot of our friends that have not given us a rating. Do you know? I take that quite personally.
Yeah, I know. You guys are about to go to AfghanCon or whatever in New York. Yeah.
This is true. We need to
mobilize the Afghan contingency.
Yeah, I'm talking about head-on history while I'm out there. Sorry.
That's fucked up,
well,
man.
Well, do that too. Why can't you do both?
I can't split my time.
Oh, really? And somehow I can split my time between head-on history and this.
You can't just give us a quick shout-out.
On what?
On your keynote.
I'm not giving head on this GX shout out during my keynote.
You did. Your bio on it said.
Oh, my bio does, yeah.
He's also the host of the Head on History podcast. And I was very offended. That's why I wanted to blackmail you with those photos.
Because I didn't say currently.
You didn't say currently nerdy.
Although, to be fair.
You take on currently nerdy on your bios and stuff.
And professionally speaking, Head on History is much more conducive of his field.
It is.
Than currently nerdy is.
So what?
I'm giving a history talk. It makes sense for me to promote a history podcast.
Can't you just say currently nerdy presents Hit on History?
It's like presenting this great piece, right? You're talking about in Riverside, right? Yeah. And then all of a sudden be like, you know, I really like to talk about the X-Men too. So go ahead and check me out on Currently Nerdy.
The title of my podcast is called Currently Nerdy Presents Hit on History.
Oh, God. You should more than anything else, you should be offended at all of your friends who have not given ratings.
Yeah.
Look at the people you talk to regularly who have not actually given us ratings. Yeah,
fuck you, Zaid.
Yeah. That is true. That.
Fuck you too, Amir.
I, on the other hand, refuse to support any of my friends, and they refuse to support me in turn.
Noura, where's my...
Because they're not real friends.
She hasn't done it. I think Omar has.
Yeah. Noah has too.
Noah has
too. Noah's a G. I'm going to give him stickers.
That's why he's the number one Sadiq.
I rate
the Sadiqs.
I agree. No idea you were talking about.
This podcast has literally become us calling out white people and us calling out Afghans.
That is what it is.
These type of things happen when you bring brown people on your show.
Yeah. Look, if you're a person of color and you have a point of view in any way, shape, or form, all joking aside, right? Yeah, I like stirring the pot a little bit on Currently Nerdy, but all of us do, right? At the end of the day, if you are a person of color or a woman who has a point of view, you're naturally going to get a lot of pushback. This is the experience I've had on social media. It's the one thing I've learned the most about. Is that, like, my colleagues don't get the same experience I do. When I post something on Twitter,
they question you.
There's always 20 people at least that show up. Well, actually, Wikipedia says this. Right? You're just like, well, you can kiss my ass.
You know that source that the Wikipedia.
I remember this one time I was calling out this person. Literally, used the Dred Scott decision.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. This was a
woman who called herself a Christian. She used the Dred Scott decision. She's like, look at this case. This was the Dred Scott decision in which the court said that Dred Scott was not a free man and not entitled to protection under the Constitution. We don't have to protect illegal immigrants. And I went, lady, you are quoting in a decision that is morally reviled universally by the left and the right. Everyone going, that was a bad decision, right? That was a dark moment in our history to justify your bigotry of immigrants. And her response naturally was, look at this Muslim.
Yeah.
No, wait a minute. My Muslimness, whether it exists or not, has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Yeah. That's what I found hilarious. It's like, if you're a brown person or you're a person of color or a woman, if you ever say anything about anything, someone is going to get angry.
Only white voices matter.
Apparently.
And in some states, Russian voices matter.
Which is why you need to give us 5-star ratings.
Yeah.
Or Russia wins.
But Russia did win. Yeah. At least you told me this is how you were mentioning compound conspiracies or some shit.
Cambridge Analytica.
That's the one.
That's the one. Yeah. I don't know how you got compound conspiracies. That's not actual phrase, but okay. This is the latest news that's coming out is that Channel 4, which is a news channel.
NBC.
No, in Britain. Oh. It's called Channel 4.
Fair enough.
Did an undercover of Cambridge Analytica in which they put forth an Indian dude with a horrible Indian accent to basically interview them as a potential client, and he got them on record admitting to all sorts of fucked up things.
Mm-hmm.
First, it was revealed that Cambridge Analytica had basically stolen or somehow gotten access to a bunch of people's information, personal private information.
On Facebook?
Via Facebook. There's a belief Facebook is also doing some shady stuff, but we'll talk about that later.
Zuckerberg.
But Cambridge Analytica basically openly admitted that they, in 2014, had already trial run, data tested most of the campaign slogans that Trump had used and even were in contact with Trump, from build that wall to make America great again, to even Crooked Hillary.
Drain the swamp.
You know the Crooked Hillary stuff? You think that like he came up with that? No, they actually created the slogan and did the whole campaign about Crooked Hillary. And what they would do is that they would because the campaign can't do it directly, uh-huh. on behalf of the campaign, they would direct third parties, in this case, often Russians, right, mm-hmm. to run various ads targeting certain individuals because those people prove to be susceptible to certain types of language. In other words, all this kind of language of populism, right, is fake. This is a manufactured populism. In fact, this is actually quite brilliant. I should write this down. I'm saying it now, so it's copyrighted. Anyone who steals it from me is going to get sued.
That's right, like you're a porn star.
Because this is actually very brilliant. In the same way that Chomsky wrote about how media manufactures consent, mm-hmm. I think this best is epitomized and demonstrated in the Iraq War.
Okay.
Right? In 75% of Americans supported the Iraq War originally.
Correct.
People forget that. And 93% believed that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction.
Uh-huh.
That was manufactured. The consent of the people was manufactured by the media.
Whack dog.
Right? But the whole, the way it was handled, the discussions of weapons of mass destruction. I mean, they ran unedited bylines of Bush and everybody in the Bush administration saying, we don't want the smoking gun to become the mushroom cloud. Yeah. Right? That was the thing, the fear. Now, Cambridge Analytica is telling us that they're manufacturing populism. Right? That it's not a grassroots populist movement of people rising up against their government. No, it's manufactured by corporations who are going, oh, this is a really useful message. Social media is inherently populist. Let's use the populist message. Well, bullshit. At the end of the day, it's still pro-corporation. Mm. Right? And it is. So that's the article I'm going to write, from manufactured to consent to manufactured populism. Copyright, you heard it here. March 20th, 9:48 p.m. 2018. Okay.
You just gave out a lot of information.
I did give out a lot of information. But what was fascinating about that is, in addition to admitting that they basically manufactured populism, they also admitted that they corner politicians. They entrap them using bribes and Ukrainian sex workers.
Mm. Wait, what?
Ukrainian sex workers. So now this is all kind of iffy because it's starting to sound a lot like Donald Trump's compromise a little bit and whatnot.
That's
like
true. And yeah, I love the fact that everything that's going on right now will all end in him getting peed on by a girl. Doesn't that make you happy?
Someone's
getting peed on.
Michael Steele was right.
But I love. If you haven't seen it, it's only 20 minutes. Check out the undercover. It's really, really alarming. But it's also quite fascinating because now the CEO's gotten in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, something happened to him.
He stepped down right now, but that doesn't mean anything. CEOs step down all the time.
But something happens to the company. They're not allowed to do certain things.
The UK government is taking it seriously. The privacy laws in the UK and Europe are way more advanced than they are in the United States. Uh-huh. The United States lags behind on this because they never want to take action on corporations.
Yeah.
The UK Parliament has called them up. They've also slapped them with a bunch of fines. There's several investigations ongoing. Whereas Cambridge Analytica openly admitted that they went to Congress when they were called before Congress.
Uh-huh.
They admitted that, like, the Republicans weren't even interested. They're like, they asked us two questions.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they admitted. They're like, no one cares.
Yeah.
The United States. But Europe is pissed.
Where are they based out of?
London.
Oh, they're based out of London?
Yeah. It's a London-based company.
Ooh.
So Cambridge Analytica, that is owned by Robert Mercer.
Uh-huh.
And Steve Bannon is also part of it.
Ooh.
Yeah, Steve Bannon and Robert Mercer kind of created, not created, but they're part of the main financiers and minds behind Cambridge
Analytica. So it's interesting, these like weird groups like Project Veritas and Cambridge Analytica. Like there's all the...
Well, Project Veritas is its own thing.
Yeah, I know that, but like it's always interesting how it's, you know, because for a while around the time that Trump had gotten elected, or around the time, like the first several months of his presidency, people were quick to kind of praise him. Despite the fact that he was a buffoon, they were kind of quick to praise him on his ability to bamboozle people with his charisma, right? Yeah. When now you're kind of seeing that it wasn't...
Manufactured.
Yeah, it was actually...
He was just the perfect candidate that they had created in their little weird science lab. For the record, these are political scientists who are doing this. So this is why I hate that discipline. Because it does shit like this.
You sneaky bastard.
It is interesting. They're experimenting on populations of people.
Well, they're basically they're corporations that are trying to make money, and at the end of the day, that's all they care about.
Yeah,
is they make money. But what they're doing is they're going, we can sell democracies. by yeah. using the data set that we've used and learned to develop. These are corporations that are making, that are putting profit above everything else, that are making massive marketing blunders. But at the end of the day, it's making them billions of dollars, so they don't care.
Yeah, see, but some of these companies fuck up.
Some of them do.
Some of them do and lose billions of dollars.
Ideally.
Yeah. So, and I say this because a few days ago, right, it was last week, last Thursday to be exact, Snapchat allowed for an app from Would You Rather to be on their feed. And it said, would you rather punch Chris Brown or slap Rihanna?
Right? Ooh, that's no good.
Now, for those of you who don't know,
that's horrible.
Rihanna was a victim of domestic violence on from Chris Brown, right? So people saw this and, you know, they tweeted it to Rihanna. Rihanna responded with, like, she said, I'm not affected by it because I've overcome my domestic violence, but there's so many other women who have been affected by domestic violence, and for you guys to allow an advertisement to go on your platform that makes light of domestic violence, you guys could take that whole app-ology and throw it away, right?
Mm.
A lot of her followers were like, that's her telling us to delete Snapchat. So a shit ton of people deleted Snapchat. Snapchat lost $800 million.
Good.
Because of it. And that's how bad their stock tanked, right? And they've been making a lot of like faux pas lately. They're just messing up.
Yeah. The update was weird. Yeah.
So the update came out like a month ago.
Yeah.
Right. And when the update came out, the former like self-proclaimed queen of Snapchat, who was Kylie Jenner, tweeted, "I feel like is it just me or does anyone else not use a Snapchat anymore?" Mm-hmm. By her tweeting that, they lost $1.2 million worth of shares. $1.2 billion.
That's why these people are called influencers now, right? Yeah. Is that they are literally influence peddlers. Their job is to influence. Donald Trump has done this, right? Where he's tweeted mm-hmm. about a company and a company's stock has gone up or down, right?
Yeah.
This is the new era of capitalism, is that you're no longer... I mean, capital has always been a weird, magical, made-up thing.
Yeah.
Right? When I teach my students this, I pull out a dollar bill. Mm-hmm. We just did a class on capitalism, socialism, et cetera, in the Middle East. And we talked about capitalism. And I pull out a dollar bill and I go, what is this? They mm-hmm. go, it's a dollar. I'm like, no, it's a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Dollar is your raw magic, right? Yeah. It's purely metaphysical in concept, like God, right? In some instances, you know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It's a piece of paper with ink.
Yeah.
But we all are fully convinced of its value, that it means something that it isn't.
Yeah.
It is a symbol imbued with a type of meaning that nobody doubts.
Yep.
Right? I can take that dollar anywhere in the United States,
mm-hmm.
and it is the exact same value, no matter what your feelings, beliefs, or whatnot are.
Yeah.
That's magic, right? That's really powerful magic. But that's capitalism. Capital is made up. What is capital? What is profit? It's a set of numbers,
mm-hmm.
right, that are moved from one place to another. It's entirely made up. Who determines, right? Like I've always remarked that the idea, like someone like me who doesn't often carry cash, I deal with everything in bank transfers. It's just a set of numbers that someone's keeping track of.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's
you
not
know,
anything.
Technically, like, I mean, Tyler Durden, Fight Club kind of, you know, when they blow up the credit union and everything, yeah. like it's kind of the same concept, right? It's like, what is credit really? I mean, you're given a whatever services or items
mm-hmm.
in exchange for a promise that you're going to give them this stuff that doesn't right. actually mean anything at the end of the day.
It's all made up. So when in second stage capitalism or late stage capitalism, right, you're no longer even dealing with the material aspect of it. It's not even numbers anymore. It's
yeah.
influence. That's what Kylie Jenner's and all of them are all about.
Yeah, it's like
but the problem is that when you're an influencer, then you also have incentive to market that way.
Yeah.
So for me, like you mentioned Jenner, and that reminds me of Kim Kardashian, right?
Uh-huh.
What did Kim Kardashian do recently is release those Kimojis. And we tweeted about this and got yeah. nerdy about how Kim Kardashian is suddenly a feminist because she wants to sell Kimojis, uh-huh. which actually got featured at BuzzFeed. We'll post up the article. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But that was... I mean, it's a valid critique, right?
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian is not a feminist, right? Oh, she may be a very powerful businesswoman, right? But feminism means something.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And feminism doesn't just mean any woman who is empowered. That's not true. There can be women that work against feminism, right? Mm-hmm. And there are women who don't believe in feminism. Feminism doesn't just mean that. And feminism isn't a meaningless phrase, meaning that you can't just, in the same way that Tanya Harding and, I'm sorry to say, but Tanya Harding and, what's her fucking face?
Give me a hint.
I can't remember her name. I blanked on her
name. Okay, so give me where she's from.
Clinton's...
Monica Lewinsky?
Monica Lewinsky, thank you. Oh. Neither Monica Lewinsky nor... Tanya Harding are feminist icons, I'm sorry. They've been mistreated by the media, without a doubt.
Absolutely.
They're a sign of double standards and sexism in the media. Yes, they are not feminist icons, right? They're not empowered women, so to speak.
Didn't Tanya Harding beat another woman?
Literally, she beat another woman. The other one literally had an affair with a married man and screwed over a married woman. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're okay. And I also understand my privilege as a dude talking about feminism, right?
Yeah.
But suddenly, Kim Kardashian decided that she's going to get into the feminist... game. Why? Because, and I teach my students this, is why is it that Pepsi has one of the Jenners giving out... Pepsi doesn't give two shits about Black Lives Matter.
Nope.
It gives no shits whatsoever. But it also understands that its biggest selling demographic is who? It's not 80-year-olds.
Yeah,
it's millennials and Generation Z.
Yeah.
Right? That's where the money's at. From about 16 to 35, that's the money.
Yep.
So who are those people? Those are the people that are listening to Kylie Jenner or whatever her name is, to the Jenners, and who are pro Black Lives Matter to some degree.
Yeah.
Right. So they're naturally going to co-opt that. Kim Kardashian only puts out feminist emojis,
mm-hmm.
Kimmojis, because she knows that's her population.
Yeah.
Right. The reality is that
isn't it like right after one of the Second Women March, too.
Yeah.
That she posted a feminist.
Yeah, I mean they somehow conveniently timed it around the proper time, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Corporatism is like that, though. I mean, they understand when they understand how to make the most of impact, and I think we actually saw it with the. This is interesting because Diz, you this is a wrestling the WWE they announced for WrestleMania the Fabulous Moolah Classic or whatever it is.
Yeah, Fabulous Moolah Battle Royal.
The Battle Royal, and then people really got up in arms because as Fabulous Moolah. You know, she's a pioneering woman in professional wrestling, but she did a lot of really fucked up stuff. Like her and her husband did all sorts of things that included, you know, embezzlement, mm-hmm. even trafficking, you know, rumors about sex trafficking or like
there's a lot of rumors by multiple women that she would loan her talent, right? So the women that she was training, she would loan them to mm-hmm. other like territories and they would to go there and perform sexual acts with the wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
And if the women didn't want to perform the sexual acts, they got raped.
Jesus.
Yeah, trigger warning.
But I mean, modeling in companies in general, not all of them, but a significant number of them also contract out their models to attend parties by really wealthy,
mm-hmm.
and they're basically escorts. Now, that there isn't a demand for sex, but in a lot of those instances, there is an expectation of sexual favors traded, and that's an example of how. Despite corporations claiming to do good things, at the end of the day, the reality is still exploitation. In the Kim Kardashian instance, I just want to go back real quick, is the Kimmoji is one example of it. But the other example of it, which I think really highlights her intention, was the release of her makeup line, right? Mm-hmm. People were calling out the fact that she constantly was harping on this idea that her makeup line was diverse. Mm-hmm. That it was meant for women of all skin tones, but that the majority of the skin tones in her concealers or whatnot, right,
mm-hmm.
were for fair-skinned individuals.
But there she's was not one. Fair-skinned herself.
I know, but there was one, and people call that like she herself is Mediterranean, Middle Eastern looking. Her husband is black. Her children are biracial.
Yeah.
That she had one brown color and one black color. Right, in comparison to someone like Rihanna, as you mentioned earlier, whose makeup line is kind of universally regarded as the standard because of how diverse it really is for all skin tones. Right, at the end of the day, corporations make these blunders because they're small groups of people who are like-minded and are interested in one thing and one thing alone: selling
money.
Right, that's what ends up happening. You end up with tone deaf. Or corporations making these massive blunders because they're just interested in selling.
Well, V mentioning the WWE thing, a lot of people harped on it. What they did was they had to take the name off. I just want to mention they did get rid of the name.
Yeah, but people. You have to understand that the reason why they did it more so than anything, because it doesn't matter what we say, right? Yeah. But Snickers threatened to pull their sponsorship of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
In order for that, and then they just kind of...
That's often the case. It's like they don't actually... Corporations don't do the right thing until there's a threat of loss of money, right? We saw this with a lot of the corporations that ended up pulling out sponsors from the NRA, things like that. It's because sponsors threaten to pull money. When they end up, the fear of losing money is what gets into, oh, we're going to do the right thing. They don't actually care about doing the right thing.
That is true.
We know this because when corporations don't have the fear of loss of money, they won't do anything to remedy situations. Airlines. You and I are just about to get on airplanes. Airlines are prime examples of this.
Mm-hmm.
Airlines know you have no choice.
Yep.
You always have to fly with one or the other.
Yep.
You know, you don't have your own airplane. And so as a result, airlines are almost uniquely inculcated and inoculated from scandal.
Yeah. Oh, United's been doing a really good job of making it the only one. I mean, between killing people's pets and beating up on Asian people.
All of them, they do all those horrible things, but they release an apology and then they don't actually change anything.
Yeah, that's true.
People still fly United. Because
they're inoculated from any type of... There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
They're not going to lose any money, so they don't give two shit.
Yeah, that is true. I mean,
they're just going to keep doing it.
I think people are a little bit more cognizant of that now because... You know, boycott campaigns where they actually tell you not to buy from them,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is, you know, really, really traditional in my opinion. And then the right does this weird thing where they boycott Starbucks by buying Starbucks for Christmas or whatever it was.
No one's ever accused them of being bribed.
I don't understand part.
When they didn't like NWA, what they did was they bought a shit ton of NWA records and then stomped on them. And what did Eazy-E say? I don't give a fuck what they do to our CDs. As long as they're buying them, we're getting paid.
Yeah, that's, right? People don't get that. They did the same thing with books, right? People buy books to burn them. He's like, you still paid the author.
Who was the people that were they burning Kaepernick jerseys?
They were burning
people
Kaepernick
were burning jerseys. Kaepernick jerseys. People burned J.K. Rowling's books. There's a bunch of people, and it's like, you bought the jersey. I mean, there's nothing you can.
Yeah, like, oh,
you just paid the.
You person. Burnt the jersey. You paid for it.
I don't care what you do afterwards.
Yeah.
You could read the book. You could fuck the book. I don't care. You bought the book.
Yeah. You still helped my paycheck.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah. Corporations misbehaving is an interesting theme in our recent years.
I mean, it's not just the corporations that misbehave. Like, we'll see it with these influencers or, you know, the people that are working for these corporations. Mm-hmm. So, do you guys know who Adam Richman is?
Yeah, Man vs. Food Guy.
Yeah. So, Man vs. Food Guy had another show on the Travel Channel after Man vs. Food that was supposed to air, right? And he lost a shit ton of weight.
Mm-hmm.
There was a hashtag going on Twitter and Instagram called hashtag Thinspiration, which was pro bulimia, pro anorexia. Right. So it was like women that had eating disorders talking about why you should have this eating disorder and why it's good. Right.
Jeez.
Yeah. It got banned now. That hashtag is banned. But Adam Richman posted a picture of himself after he lost a shit ton of weight and it said hashtag Thinspiration. Right. Honest mistake. Right. You see a hashtag trending that says Thinspiration. You lost a lot of weight. You're now thin. You're stupid and didn't look at the hashtag. It's okay. Right? I saw Safari trending on Twitter one time and I clicked it and I ended up seeing a big black dong.
What the hell?
Yeah, it was Nicki Minaj's ex-boyfriend Safari's penis. Jesus. Pictures got leaked. Right?
Jesus.
Well, you searched up Black China once.
I didn't search.
You clicked it.
And I didn't think it was Black China. Was it Black China?
It was Black China.
It was someone was trending. I just clicked on it and the video was there.
Yeah, that's what happened to me.
I didn't play the video though.
It was a picture, so I couldn't not. so you know, he used this hashtag, and then people were like, "Hey, this is what the hashtag actually means." They called him out on it, or like it's kind of insensitive. And instead of doing the rational human thing of apologizing, right? Like, "Hey, that wasn't my intention. I just saw this hashtag, and I thought it meant." Like, you know, people sharing stories about how they lost weight, trying to help other people who are dealing with, like, obesity and want to, like, lose weight. He started telling these people to go fuck themselves. You should slit your wrists and sit in the bathtub.
Jesus.
Yeah. And so
let me guess, they dropped him.
Yeah. Like, so it's not just these companies that make these faux pas. Some of these people.
Well, because companies are made up of people.
Yeah, right.
And those people do stupid shit. But we like to think that they don't.
Yeah. Well, you know, they probably hire some 20-year-old to run their social media. It's not like they have someone that's up. And let's face it, some old dude in a suit isn't going to really know how to work social media. So they're just going to hire out some 20-year-old to do it. So they're bound to have some kind of stupid shit happen.
Right.
I mean, there's a couple of food companies, Entenmann's being one of them. The dessert people, or they do like the little baked goods.
Yeah, I like those.
During the Casey Anthony trial, people were really upset about that whole thing, and the trend hashtag not guilty was trending, and they jumped on it, and then they wrote, who's hashtag not guilty about eating all the tasty treats they want?
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, they literally jumped on the Casey Anthony thing with that. And what's even better is, not better, but it's even more kind of despicable is DiGiorno. They jumped on a hashtag about domestic violence.
Oh, I remember this.
Which was hashtag why I stayed. And it was people talking about why they stayed in abusive relationships, right? You know, a lot of it was about like because of my kids, because I was worried I was going to get killed, this and that. DiGiorno did hashtag why I stayed. You had pizza.
Oh.
Yeah. Did they write an apology?
There's two issues here. One, there's tone deafness, right? Is where they don't care. Like, we just want to sell.
Yeah.
But there's another instance where you see something trending and you want to sell. You don't actually see what the trending is about.
Yep.
And you go, I'm going to use the hashtag, and you use it before you realize it. You've jumped onto a domestic violence hashtag.
Oof.
But in both instances, the problem comes from the fact that these are, at the end of the day, individuals who form big groups. Then those groups are basically just trying to maximize profit. Right. And that means competing with one another and doing all sorts of fucked up things. DiGiorno, I think, also called out one of the better pizza moments, because there was a moment where like they were battling with another pizza place and they were winning. Wendy's is an example of constantly slamming McDonald's and winning the Twitter war.
I think McDonald's blocked them on Twitter.
Probably. Because, I mean, they constantly talk shit on McDonald's. But Wendy's talks shit about everybody.
Yeah. You ask it a stupid question, though.
They respond.
And
they're always talking about McDonald's ice cream machine not working. In fairness, they're right about that one, right?
The flurry machines don't work.
But there was also the case of Papa John's, right? Papa John's was massively tone deaf about the NFL situation, right? Where they doubled down and then they tried to apologize, but it ended up costing them a bunch of money.
Yeah, and then John Schnatter stepped down as CEO.
Stepping down doesn't actually do anything. They're still around. But they were, before they had done their stupid, I'm going to side with the racists, they had fucked up in the sense that one of their drivers accidentally, or not accidentally, deliberately, either leaked or gave the phone number of Iggy Azalea to one of his friends, or tweet or texted Iggy Azalea after.
Gave it to a sibling.
Yeah, gave it to a sibling or something like that, right? In other words, compromised the private information of Iggy Azalea. And Iggy Azalea tweeted about it to Papa John's. And Papa John's, rather than apologize, didn't take it seriously and tweeted back about her lyrics, in response.
Yeah.
And people were remarking about how ridiculously tone deaf that response was, of going, wait a minute, this is a serious, it's not a joke, I'm not kidding with you, this is really fucked up.
Iggy Azalea responded with that.
Yeah, and they're goofing off.
Incidentally, in one moment to actually redeem DiGiorno, they also tweeted Iggy Azalea, and all they wrote was delivery, shake my head.
But this is an attempt by corporations to be hip and trendy with people like us, right? Or maybe the generation after. I shouldn't say us.
Yeah, right? Certainly not us.
It's not going to work for me. But it also is an indication of what is going on structurally, right, with corporations. These are, at the end of the day, they're not interested in on being hip or being cool. They're only interested so far as they can sell.
Yeah, if they can make an money.
And as a result of that, that leads them to making really dumb decisions, right? You can get really blindsided in that boardroom blinded because you're only talking to a handful of people. I mean, the Dove marketing campaign, which the
God,
you know, you clean yourself and the black skin versus white skin.
It harkens
back to like really old racist soap ads anyways.
Yeah.
But like Dove is an example of like, was there no one that went, hold on a minute, what are you thinking? Yeah. Or the most famous example for our generation would be the Pepsi, right?
Yeah. With the Kendall Jenner.
Kendall Jenner. Was there nobody that went, this is not a good idea.
Now, see, here's the thing that baffles me about the whole Snapchat thing, right? Now, you're a multi-billion-dollar company, right, that sells this, like, ad space for other companies. You have to have a team that looks at these ads first. Like, I can't just give you an ad.
Yeah, but the problem is that those teams end up becoming like-minded individuals.
I understand that, right? But at the same time, you're telling me that one person in that team, they didn't have one woman in that team, like, hey, maybe would you rather punch Chris Brown or slap Rihanna?
It's not a good ad. But it's also, this comes back to our conversation that we had last week, right? Sometimes these things just get picked up too, right? There should have been someone on Snapchat. On the Snapchat side.
Yeah, but not even on the...
Forget the advertisers. The advertisers fucked up. But there should have been someone on the Snapchat side that went, we're not running that ad.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it baffles me that it went through two channels.
Two separate channels.
Sometimes
it's just an algorithm, and sometimes it's just money.
This one isn't an algorithm. They offered him a certain amount of money.
Well, we also, I mean, we've already beaten the horse to death, as it were, but the Logan Paul thing on YouTube in and of itself kind of shows the fact that it was trending on the front page for as long as it did, mm-hmm. and it had as many views. I mean, they eventually demonetized it, right? But they did make that. There was money made up until that point.
Well, there was a recent article that just came out about YouTube. Even after the thing we talked about last week,
mm-hmm.
which found out that YouTube Kids, the app, has an algorithm that leads kids down conspiracy, like it leads into conspiracy thinkers.
God damn it!
Really? So like they're bringing in like ancient aliens guys and all these, rather than like, so this, even the app, because it's about views and money and whatnot.
Yeah.
So like there's something structurally wrong with that system of views equal money, right? Or influence, whatever you want to call it. That interpretation of capital, I mean, capital in and of itself is flawed and should be deconstructed, but that's the Marxist in me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the very least, I'm hoping that we can get to a point where even the capitalists can start to agree that there's something funky in the way that we're describing or defining capital, and it's producing these really fucked up instances of advertisement and corporations doing stupid shit, because we've defined profit and capital in such a weird way, right? Like the influence. Why do you think that they came up with that ad? Because it's got the word Rihanna in it and Chris Brown in it.
Sure.
It's two influencers, because you know, if you say Timothy Chalamet, Kim Kardashian,
who's Timothy Chalamet?
He's the guy from, he's the new darling of the internet. He's from Will You Call Me By Your Name? Call Me By Your Name, the movie where him and Arnie Hammer are gay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Little curly-haired kid.
No idea.
He's literally all over the internet. There's like, the internet darlings are Timothée Chalamet, Eddie Redmayne, and like a couple other ones. These the new awkward kids, right?
Uh-huh.
Or the precious cinema buns or whatever they call them, or cinnamon something, cinnamon rolls, or whatever the fuck they're called. They're called something, right? Anyways, these people, you know, if you mention them, or Rihanna or Kim Kardashian or et cetera, you name one of them, you're going to get views, likes, et cetera.
This guy?
That guy, yeah. You can end up, I mean, there's whole Instagram accounts and Twitter accounts that are just dedicated to memes. And they become popular, bigger than newscasters. I mean, there's people who are famous news analysts and prominent pundits and academics who have a few thousand subscribers or followers versus someone who's shit-tweeting about, you know, that stupid styrofoam mannequin, you know, that's turning around, that has millions of followers, right?
Yeah.
So you know that there are certain things that get certain types of view, that create certain attention, that produce capital. And so you're naturally going to seek those things out. It's why it's easier to have an account that shit talks than an account that gives serious information out.
It's true.
Right? And if you're in a world of making profit, what are you going to do? Are you going to be ethical and serious and put out a heartwarming message? The era of the polar bear Coca-Cola is dead.
Yeah, it's what's going to...
It's viral marketing now.
That's true. Now it's the Coca-Cola that snowboards its face into a wall or something and bleeds and then starts screaming like shit over and over again.
What the hell?
It's a Coca-Cola that eats a Tide Pod. You know
what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, like whatever it is. The same bullshit.
Monkey puppy
baby. Or like, you know, lights itself on fire or something, you know?
It's about viral marketing. And so whenever corporations are thinking in those terms, right? Whatever, I mean, I think the message of the past two podcasts in particular has been there's something structurally wrong in society. In the way we organize information, mm-hmm. and the way we organize profit, the way we organize all these kind of things, there's something going on there that we haven't quite grasped that we're going to have to come to terms with over the next few decades.
Yeah.
That's just me. Maybe I'm just a negative Nancy.
A little bit.
Probably.
But it is what it is.
We end and go to our current Lunatic Patronus. I just want to mention that famed Holocaust denier Arthur Jones won the Republican race in Illinois. So he's an actual Nazi, a literal Nazi.
But wasn't he the only one running?
He ran unopposed. There is no, because it's a safely blue seat, but it's a testament to what's going on in the Republican Party right now that person.
Do you think does he get any funding?
He's not. I'm pretty sure the RNC is not going to fund him, but still, that he can claim to be a Republican, right?
Yeah, that's kind
of a problem. But that's the news. And yes. Of course, Cynthia Nixon is running for governor. In New York.
Cynthia Nixon is...
From Sex and the City, I think, or something like that. She's one of them. I don't know which one.
I'll look it up.
But she's running against Cuomo.
Well, you know, the beauty of the internet is you can be anything you want to be, Ali. You know, Diz can be a fire truck or whatever he likes to be. You know, you could be a Twitstorian or Twitterstorian or whatever.
I'm an actual historian, so you can kiss my ass.
Yeah, whatever that is. You know, I blog about sandwiches. What the beauty of the internet is that you can literally find some of the most amazing, most hilarious things ever. Or you can also engage in the worst type of misinformation, like the existence of the country of Finland.
God damn it, V.
Now, what I thought was important about our Patronus this week was that I needed to go and find some of the finest anonymous unsung heroes of the internet.
Uh-huh.
And this started my search with a Yahoo answer that I loved from years ago. And the question was, how can I test if my son is gay?
Oh.
You know, this guy named Gary goes, I'm worried my son might be gay. I want to get him checked. Isn't it possible to get a hormone check, a vocal cord check? Can't the doctor indicate if he's gay or not? My son has almost no muscles and narrow shoulders. He also has blue eyes. He talks in a very high voice. And while he sings, he sounds like a castrato. He tells me his voice is called tenor. How can I test if my son is gay? Now... The Yahoo Answers is based on a voting system, so the best answer gets chosen, right? Now, our friend...
It doesn't always work that way.
Yes, our friend here with the avatar of nothing but a smiley face named Concerned Citizen, chosen by the voters as the best answer. He goes, there's a really simple test you can do at home. Get some vinegar, get some baking soda, then make a big clay volcano. Then, while this is erupting, if your son is too busy sucking a dick, he's gay.
Sucked up.
Now... People like this got me into a rabbit hole of, you know, because that's a pretty old one.
It is.
So I jumped on to some people who started editing Wikipedia pages, right? Now, Wikipedia is dangerous because anyone can technically edit. So while simultaneously being really funny,
by it's anyone, also a little bit anyone with magical skills called technical skills.
Exactly, right? Now, there's a guy named Mike Rosenthal at VectorBelly on Twitter, right, who got banned from Wikipedia.
Is it the Wyoming dude?
No. He's what he ended up doing was he went and edited the Wikipedia page for Ray Romano, putting hypothetically before every single verb.
Okay, there's another guy on Twitter that you need to look up that got banned off of Wikipedia because every time he got drunk, he would go on the map of Wyoming and made Wyoming a little bit bigger every time. And like when he showed the map, like Wyoming has exponentially gotten large, like incrementally gotten larger over the few weeks. It's actually really funny. But then someone ratted him out and he got banned off of Wikipedia.
So now we actually have personal connection because our high school Wikipedia page, we were the first year to do the high school exit exam.
Okay.
Someone had changed it to the high school egg shit exam, and it lasted there for a couple of years at least.
Yeah, interesting enough, our Wikipedia page for our high school, I think our high school or our school district bought like a reputation repair people because all the negative stuff about Aliso Miguel High School disappeared. It used to include the fact that there was the egg shit exam. It also included the fact that Charles Salter banned a dance. There was this whole controversy. Usually when you go to various websites, there's a subsection called controversies for people and places and things that have big controversies. All that stuff disappeared. So I'm just going to point that
out. That's true. They hired a scrubber. Right, another guy. There was a couple little harmless ones. Someone had put that Emma Stone was, had fallen from heaven or some shit like that. There's another one where they changed Erdogan's picture on Wikipedia to a cockroach. Right, but my favorite one actually happened several months ago. Someone had changed the invertebrates Wikipedia. And then amongst, crustaceans and corals and arachnids at the very bottom of the list is Paul Ryan.
Yes, I saw that one.
That's a good one.
Anytime LeBron James dunks on somebody, right, someone will go on Wikipedia page, on that person's Wikipedia page, and will write that they either died on a day that LeBron dunked on them or their career ended.
That's a common one whenever someone gets burned on Twitter. There's a massive burn, a good one.
Yeah.
Someone will go to that person's Wikipedia page and change. Killed by Twitter on this day.
So it's pretty good. There was also anyone who reads Sherdog, there was they do fight records.
Yeah,
and this was a long time ago, and I can't say I condone this one, but it was because we brought up the Snapchat, they had done a Chris Brown Rihanna fight record thing.
Okay.
Which was pretty bad. But that got erased really quick. Guys, yeah. So the internet, right? The internet is bad and it's good.
It's beautiful and it's everything. Ugly and everything. In
so wait, who's our Patronus? The one who said to build a volcano?
No, the unsung heroes of the internet.
I think the unsung heroes of the internet, the trolls for good.
There are Patronus.
There are good trolls. I don't know about that, but
a bad one. But all the other ones before that was.
But
good.
Whoever, if you can find me the Wyoming dude, that guy was whoever he was. He's a great guy because I love stuff like that. That's like harmless. But annoying fun, you know what I mean? That you enjoy, you do it because it gives you a warm tickling in your belly.
Mm.
But and no one else in the world needs to know about it, but it amuses you endlessly.
It's like
that type of humor, because I do that a lot. I do little stuff that no one else gets, but I get, and it entertains me endlessly. Like little things I'll say or do.
When Jim paid everyone in the office to call Dwight Dwayne.
Things like that actually crack me up, right? Like that type of humor is it's my thing and my type of pranking. But that Wyoming stuff is just because I could just see that's such a pure form of fun. Him drunk, that's it. Fuck it. I'm making Wyoming bigger. Wyoming is an unsung hero of the states. It doesn't get fair representation on the map. He just expands it by a millimeter every time.
Can we go around saying one city in Wyoming and see how many rounds we can?
I can't. I'm done.
I don't know any cities in Wyoming.
Cody.
How the fuck do you know Cody, Wyoming?
Isn't there a city in Wyoming called Wyoming?
I don't know. I think Cody.
What's the capital of Wyoming?
Cody, Wyoming, no?
Is it?
No, it's no, Helena. No, it's Montana.
What the fuck, man?
No, what is the capital of Wyoming?
Someone tweet us what the capital of Wyoming is.
Yeah, we could just look it up on Wikipedia.
No, I want someone to actually tell us what the capital of Wyoming is. Okay, I don't care if it's true or not.
I'm not going to look it up, but I did look up who Cynthia Nixon was.
She's from Cody, Wyoming?
She's not from Cody, Wyoming. Yeah. She played Miranda. That was the character.
Oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to me. Although, I feel like we should also highlight John Oliver's absolutely wonderful hit piece on VP Mike Pence.
This is another case of what I'm talking about.
This is trolling for good right here. Yeah. But if you guys haven't seen his 20-minute piece on Mike Pence,
the Mike Pence's book is called.
It's not Mike Pence's book. I think it's
his wife.
His wife wrote it, and it's about their rabbit Marlon Bundo and the day with the vice president.
Yeah.
Right.
Their rabbit?
Yeah, Marlon they named their Bundo. Rabbit Marlon Bundo. Now, John Oliver actually concurrently released a book that was actually about, it's actually called A Day in the Life of Marlon Bundo. It has to do with taking a stance against Mike Pence's anti-gay agenda.
Marlon Bundo is a gay rabbit.
By making his rabbit gay.
Oh.
It's a children's book.
What happened is that Mike Pence's family released a children's book about a rabbit called Marlon Bundo.
Okay.
Then John Oliver showed up, wrote a book, also a children's book, about Marlon Bundo, what made Marlon Bundo gay.
Ah.
And all the proceeds are going to the Trevor Project.
Yeah, and one other thing.
A bunch of other ones.
Incidentally, yeah. Pence does feature in that book, but he's a stink bug.
That's a form of good trolling.
Yeah. Oh, did you see what Jim Carrey did?
Oh yeah,
with the Sarah Huckabee stand. Yeah, although, yeah.
But Jim Carrey's been painting that stuff for a while now.
Yeah, but Mike Huckabee called him a pathetic bully.
So Mike Huckabee clearly forgot about his tweets from 2016 and 17 about Hillary Clinton. Mike Huckabee is like, he's the guy that tries to be funny on Twitter, but he just ends up being a dumb fuck.
That's true.
I only joined Twitter to harass Mike Huckabee.
Originally?
Did you say Mike Huckabee?
I did say Mike Huckabee. That was my original goal, was to network with historians and to fuck with Mike Huckabee. That's literally all it was. It was just me harassing him.
You know, those are noble goals, though. They're, you know, like, goals.
Fair enough.
You know, I called him a fake Christian.
You know, that's the thing.
A cut to the core. Yeah.
You know, I may be a little...
Even my insults are a bit highbrow. I'm like, you Pharisee.
Dude, I wonder how many people have you blocked on Twitter.
There's plenty of people that have me blocked.
See, I may be a little...
There's people who've preemptively blocked me.
I may be a little lowbrow on this, or I might have really low standards, but I feel like you going on Twitter to troll Mike Huckabee is around the equivalent of discovering penicillin.
I think... that it's my way of giving back to humanity.
You know, it seems like it.
Whereas penicillin was an accident.
That is true.
It's a deliberate way of giving. It's like my way of giving back to humanity. I've quoted Bible verse at him. I've said all sorts of
things. How does he not block you yet?
I don't know. I think whoever runs his account.
This is bullshit. I got blocked by Joe Budden on Twitter for tweeting him a picture of a dog.
I don't know who runs his Twitter, but I don't think they take me too seriously. But I do get quite a bit of traction. I've said so many things to that guy. I'm surprised. I've called him a Pharisee. That was my favorite one.
A Pharisee.
All right. Well, two missions for the Nerd Imperium this week. Tell us the capital of Wyoming and tweet it. Mike Huckabee.
Yeah.
Did you look it up, you fuckface?
I did. I couldn't not.
You're, God, you're an asshole.
I'm not telling you guys.
All right. Tweet us those things, and Diz is going to let you know how to do that.
Yes. You could find this on Facebook, facebook.com/currentlynerdy. Go on there, like our page. You could find us at the tweets, at currentlynerdy on Twitter, Instagram, at currentlynerdy. Tumblr, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. YouTube, search Currently Nerdy. We're on Stitcher, podcast. What is the other one called? Google Podcasts, and the podcast app on iTunes under Currently Nerdy. Go on there. If you haven't given us a 5-star rating yet.
Our friendship may be on the line, because I'm going to be going through that. And if I don't recognize your name, so Omar, other people, you're good. But the ones that I know who you are.
Yeah.
Those of you.
If when I see you in New York and you tell me, hey, I listen to your podcast and you don't have a rating on there, I'm like, you're going to go on there right now and rate us.
Our friendship is going to be over.
Yeah, we'll also give you a shout out.
Yeah. We'll shout you out.
No, we won't.
See, now, there's about positive reinforcement, fellas.
I don't believe in positive reinforcement.
I'll give you a podcast sticker. Give me a 5-star
review. If you don't do it, I'm going to hit you with one of those, what do you call those, bull shocker thingies?
He's going to throw a shoe at you.
What do you call those bull shocker thingies?
Taser?
It's not a taser. It's the one you met.
Cattle prod?
Cattle prod, yeah.
Let's buy one of those in New York.
I wonder if you could get one. Is it illegal to carry that?
You can't carry it on a plane. But you could buy one.
You could put it in your luggage, I'm assuming.
Maybe.
You can't do anything. You're brown on a plane.
That's true. V could get away with it. He took a fucking knife on a plane. Motherfucker's got an Exacto
knife on a plane.
Yeah.
I told my mom that story, by the way.
It was a box cutter.
I told my mom that story, and she's like, did you guys sell
it? Wait, hold on. It was a box cutter?
It was a box cutter.
Same thing. God, I told my mom that story, and I was like, I can't carry lotion on the airplane, but V put a box cutter. So did you guys tell that story on the air? I'm like, yeah. She's like, good for you. Call them out. They're all fake. Let's talk about the security guards.
Yeah. Fuck you, TSA.
It is true, yeah.
This is episodes coming out after I fly.
Not before I fly, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oops. Shit. Whatever. Fuck them anyway. Where were we at? Yeah. 5-star ratings, you sons of bitches. And if you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, how can I get a hold of you?
You can find me on my Twitter and Instagram at VTran214. That's VYTRAN214. You can find me on my websites at thesandwichslayer.com or 7crossroads.com. Elite.
You can catch me on my website at AliAlomi.com, on Instagram and Twitter at AAOLOMI, as well as on our sister podcast, Head on History Diz.
You can't send me your nudes on Snapchat anymore because Rihanna made me delete it. But you can send me your nudes on Instagram DM at Dizbulla, DIZBULLAH.
Also for everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in. Remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you, unless you're making posts about why you should hit women.